Excellent. And so I understand that you all are trying to get ahead of things, I guess, on the whole idea of offshore drilling. Is that right?
Yeah, we're kind of perplexed by the executive order that the current administration put out a couple weeks ago with this sort of frenzied push to open up a lot of new offshore areas to oil drilling. And for us, it just makes such little sense when right now we have a glut of oil on the market and, you know, prices are below $50 a barrel, and we don't understand why this rush, and also why as part of that they want to roll back the safety measures that were put in place after the Gulf oil spill.
I don't understand why you're perplexed. I mean, Republicans ran on drill, baby, drill in the previous election. This just past election, Donald Trump said he was going to lift environmental regulations. He said he was going to unfetter the hands of industry and energy sectors to make us energy independent. Why are you perplexed?
Well, it's defying market realities, and it's going against you know, what we need at the time. I mean, there was a time, you know, years ago when oil was trading over $100 a barrel and gas prices were $5 a gallon in a lot of places, where, you know, it's a little bit more understandable that we're trying to get more resources here at home. But right now we have the Bakken Shale plays out of North Dakota. We have numerous other plays in Texas and other places where we're producing more oil than we ever have. And we're only relying on OPEC for something like 8% of our oil. And the market is so flooded that you have oil prices that are too low for the type of oil we produce. That shale oil in North Dakota, it's only profitable if the oil price is above a certain point. And what OPEC has been doing has been flooding the market with oil to try to lower prices so that our domestic oil production is not profitable. So in that kind of environment, to us, it just makes little sense to then double down and try to open up new areas and try to push more oil on the market. And also the administration is talking about dumping the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which would flood the market with even more oil.
Granted, but here's the disconnect for me. Oil is a commodity that is traded along basic ideas of supply and demand. The greater the supply and demand, you know, the price varies according to those two variables. And right now, as you say, we have an oversupply, and demand, you know, isn't, you know, keeping pace with that supply. Therefore, we've seen reduced oil prices. But by that same argument, opening areas to drilling is not the same thing as drilling in those areas. And nobody's going to build expensive offshore oil rigs if the oil prices are low. So if oil prices are so low that it's not worth drilling for more oil, then nobody's going to exploit these areas and come up against your concerns anyway.
Well, they might not right at the moment, but what we've seen in the past is that when you open these areas up, oil companies and the oil service industries, they want to gather as many assets as they can. And a lot of times, you know, they will develop these things, even if it is not at a profit. Because, you know, it takes a long time for these things to come online. But the Department of Energy is forecasting that these low oil prices are going to be the same way up through 2030. And so there's not going to be a real change in that. And in the meantime, you know, we're, as conservatives, we believe we ought to look at the whole economy as well. And what that doesn't take into account a lot of times is the future issues with respect to places offshore where we need to protect, for whether it's for coastal economies and tourism or fisheries for commercial fishing. You know, this executive order even has them looking at national marine sanctuaries, and they also they're also looking at the offshore Arctic up in the Chukchi and Beaufort Seas. When the Gulf Oil Commission, which is a bipartisan commission, said that there was a number of things that need to happen so that we've got the capacity to actually clean up a spill up there, and those things haven't happened. So why not when we got a glut of oil in the market, why not? You know, these things are reviewed every 5 years, these five-year plans. So why worry about opening up these areas in this current, before the end of this current five-year plan? What's the rush? Why not wait till this five-year plan's over or the next five-year plan? Why push this? Why get rid of the safety measures and open up the prospect that people will drill in areas where we're not prepared to clean up a spill? We don't even have one icebreaker that can go up to the Arctic and do duty there in case of an oil spill. And the nearest Coast Guard station is 1,000 miles away. So, you know, that's a very different situation than we had in the Gulf, where we had tons of assets, and yet we still couldn't stop the oil spill for months. And now we put those safeguards in place to try to make drilling a little bit more safe and responsible. And now they're talking about rolling those back. Where's the rush? Where's the urgency right now to do this, other than just trying to fulfill campaign rhetoric or cater to certain special interests?
Well, I mean, politicians have taken a hit for many, many years for making promises during their campaigns that they don't fulfill. And so one might say that this is a bit of breath of fresh air in the sense that you've got somebody who got elected who actually wants to fulfill the promises he made. The promises he made, by the way, which the Republican Party put him into office based upon. I mean, for conservatives to all of a sudden get upset about the potential, not even the actuality, but the potential to drill in these areas, might sound to some, especially those who've been in the environmental movement for a long time, might sound to some as disingenuous.
Well, like I said, what he's doing defies the market. And Republicans have always tried to let the market kind of give them clues as to what kind of policies we need. And right now, the policies are completely divorced from the markets and the need. And so, you know, to us it's a concern. I mean, special interest politics in this country, I know, you know, it's a reality right now, but, you know, that shouldn't be what's driving policy. Catering to this special interest because they're in your transition team or because you're trying to appeal to a certain segment of the population with campaign rhetoric, that's not, having that drive policy, it's not conservative. I mean, when I say conservative, I mean really conservative.
But one person's special interest, another person's vital interest. And to say that, you know, you mentioned that it takes a long time to bring these assets online, and that's why these oil companies would want to begin developing now. Well, that's very true. So 10, 15 years down the line, maybe oil will be more expensive, and maybe it will make sense to drill then, and maybe that's when they'll actually be able to drill because it takes time to set all this stuff up. I'm just wondering again, why your group believes the president can do anything to drive market forces when it's market forces that are going to decide whether or not it's profitable to drill in these areas, and if they decide it's not profitable, they're not going to do it. Maybe they'll buy the rights to drill, but just not drill, so that in some future date they can. A future date, by the way, a future administration could rescind.
Well, correct. A future administration could rescind it. But one of the things that they're reviewing, besides just the lease sales and things like that, is the safety measures that were put in place after the Gulf spill. Wouldn't it make more sense, wouldn't it be more prudent, to take this period where we have a glut of oil on the market and focus our attention and efforts on improving the safety and spill response capability, Coast Guard capability, all these things that are needed, and prepare so that when we do have to drill in places, in additional places down the road, that we can do so in a way that doesn't put coastal communities and tourism and fisheries and other things at risk.
Your group is asserting that that's not happening?
No, well, the part of the executive order was looking at all the safety measures, specifically the ones that were put in place after the Gulf oil spill. So this bipartisan commission with, you know, former Republican EPA Administrator Bill Riley and others, they put a list of things that their research and their investigation found that needs to happen to make sure that we don't have another Gulf oil spill, or an Exxon Valdez, or a Santa Barbara, whatever the case may be. That the things that, you know, the industry was cutting a lot of corners. So we put these safety measures in place. And we haven't even had long enough for to look and see if those are working yet. And this executive order, you know, expresses the intent to roll those back.
Well, but it doesn't actually roll them back, does it?
Well, the executive order says to study them. That's all it can say. But basically, it turned when Trump gave his remarks at the executive order signing, it was clear that he wanted to reduce any kind of barrier that he saw whatsoever to oil drilling, and that includes these safety measures. So, you know, our concern is, you know, it would be one thing if we were desperate to get more oil to the market quickly, and you're thinking about relaxing some things. I mean, that would probably not be wise, but still, it's more understandable. In this situation, where we have a glut of oil in the market, and we got plenty of time to make sure that when we do more drilling, that we continue to work toward getting it right. I mean, it's reckless. And you know, conservatism is supposed to be about prudence and, you know, stewardship and responsibility, those things too. It's not just listen to the special interest or do the populist thing to do. It's do things responsibly, do things the way they're supposed to be done. You know, based on facts and things like that. That's what conservatism has always been. Whether you go back to Theodore Roosevelt or Nixon or Reagan, when you get to issues like this, they sought to act responsibly on this. And we're just not seeing that same kind of approach with this administration.
And does that surprise you, given the campaign that we saw the president run? The campaign run by the Republican Party.
Well, it was arguably rerun by the Republican Party. I mean, you know, there were plenty of people in the Republican Party that had problems with that as well.
They still voted for him, didn't they?
Well, a majority voted for him. You know, but
almost all Republicans voted for him.
Well, versus Hillary, yeah. When the alternative is Hillary, obviously
she could have protected these areas, wouldn't she?
Yeah, I imagine she would have probably kept the same policies of the previous administration for the most part.
So in this instance, Hillary would have been a better candidate for you to have elected president if the goal was to protect these offshore areas.
Perhaps, but it shouldn't be that way. I mean, we shouldn't, you know, conservatives shouldn't have to have the choice of someone who's conservative on other things that we believe in, but they're going to, you know, act reckless when it comes to safeguarding not only the environment, but other economic interests like tourism and fishing and things like that. It shouldn't be that way.
I imagine that you as conservatives can even have a much more powerful and effective voice to help guide the president in maybe rolling some of this back, right?
Well, in most Republican administrations, you actually see reasonable people that you can deal with. If you look at the EPA administrators that were put in by everybody from Nixon on up to Reagan and Bush, George W. Bush, all those EPA administrators, you know, were absolutely committed. Even though the environmental groups actually opposed them, they were still absolutely committed to the mission of protecting the environment. You know, the Trump administration put someone in there who will openly say that he's not. And that is quite a departure from what we've seen in, you know, Republican administrations in the past. And this executive order and this sort of reckless rush to open up every area you can imagine, you know, even marine sanctuaries to drilling, when we have a glut of oil in the market, it just doesn't make sense. I would argue to them blue in the face that it's not conservative.
Okay, but now you got me wondering again, because you just spoke about how the Trump administration has put people in place. I'm assuming you're talking about Secretary of the Interior and the head of the EPA, and
more the head of the EPA than the Secretary
of
Interior, but yes.
Okay, well, but these people were confirmed by Senate Republicans, weren't they?
Yes. Yes, they were.
So again, you know, I'm wondering, you're a Republican, right?
Yes, but just understand that being conservative and being Republican are not completely the same thing. Yes, conservatives tend to be Republican. But conservatism transcends Republican partisan politics.
Well, sure, there are conservative Democrats. Don't get me wrong. But I was under the impression that your group was Republican who are conservative, who are conservation-minded Republicans. That's what I was under the impression. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, most of our members that fits the description. But we, as a C3 organization, you know, we're conservatives. But the reality of it is our membership is comprised of mostly Republicans. And, you're either a Republican or an independent probably for the most part if you're conservative. That doesn't mean, that conservatives, you know, must march in lockstep with the current administration. You can look at George Will or, David Frum or a whole host of conservative commentators that have real problems with what this administration is doing. And in this area of environment and natural resources, we're an organization that takes, you know, our moral stewardship responsibility. This goes all the way back to biblical teaching, seriously. And what we see is, you know, someone in the White House that is trying to just go through this like a bull in a china shop recklessly, and is going to cause a whole lot of problems down the road. And it's not just for the environment, but it's going to be for coastal communities in California or Florida, lobster fishermen in Maine, just name it. This kind of policy projection and the fact of trying to roll back safeguards when we've got plenty of oil in the market, it's reckless, and we're really worried about where that takes us. And we don't like to see anybody that claims to be conservative trying to go down that road.
Okay, well let's take everything that you've said as gospel. Let's assume that you're correct on all points. The fact of the matter is, the first person, or I should say, the next person that changes President Trump's mind on anything big is going to be the first person who changes his mind on anything big. And what I'm wondering is then what does your group see as the solution to this problem when it is President Trump who's making these decisions?
Well, you know, these executive orders, they only matter to the degree that the agencies, after they review these matters, come back with policy recommendations and regulations and so forth that would implement those objectives. And so, you know, Secretary of Interior Zink actually has some latitude with whether to open up these areas to offshore drilling, or whether to accept the previous 5-year plan and wait until, you know, that's over before you reevaluate. He could choose not to roll back the safety measures that were implemented after the Gulf spill. So he can do all that based on public comment and information that they receive during the official comment period for the regulation. So Republicans and conservatives around the country that care about coastal communities, that care about fisheries, that want us to do things right and want us to do things in a genuinely conservative way, those people can go in and they can comment and they can show the administration that there are plenty of conservatives out here that don't want them to take the reckless path, that they want them to take the responsible path.
Okay, and so do you think that that's what the secretary will do, or do you think he will do what his boss intends him to do, which is to open those areas up to drilling and roll back those safeguards?
Well, it's going to depend on how much autonomy the president has given his secretaries. You know, if he's given them some leeway.
Not as much as he wants to give them. And the last time Donald Trump gave any of the people who worked for him any autonomy, again, the first time he'll do that.
Right. It doesn't look good. I grant you that. You know, this is stuff that we all care about, and so it's worth the effort. You know, politicians still, in this day and age, despite all the money in politics and everything else, they do listen to constituents, and the public matters, and people who care about this stuff need to stand up and speak. And the thing that we found throughout our organization's history is that, you know, when you've got Republicans in charge, it's important that conservatives and Republicans speak out. Because if the only people they're hearing from are people on the left, they're not going to pay as much attention.
Excellent. I think that's a great way to round that out. Is there anything else that you want to address as far as this issue is concerned that you think needs addressing that we didn't talk about?
Well, I think one thing to just sort of reiterate a little bit on the Arctic, you know, one of the areas that they want to open up with this is the Arctic. And report from the Bipartisan Commission after the Gulf Spill, they looked at that and they said, there are so many unknowns up there. We need more research into some of this stuff. We need the oil companies to demonstrate that they can actually clean up a spill in those icy waters. We need the Coast Guard to have assets in place that can help with a spill. We need an ice breaker ship that can actually be up there and stand on standby constantly if we're going to have drilling up there. And we have none of that. None of those things have been implemented. And yet, that doesn't matter. You know, the administration wants to say, okay, let's open those places up for leasing. You know, I think that we all have a duty to be good stewards of this planet, and going in and doing things recklessly like that, especially given the current overabundance of oil in the market, to me that seems almost sacrilegious. And you know, we want this done right. I mean, we're not saying never drill any of these places. We're saying there's no need to worry about it right now. Why don't you try to get it right? And why don't you do all the things that you're supposed to do so that when we do have to drill, if we have to drill, we can do so responsibly. And there's no way to argue that that wouldn't be the conservative path.
Okay, great. And again, where are you located?
We're located in the D.C. area in Northern Virginia. That's where our main office is.
And, right?
Yes. Yeah, and we have members all over the country.
Yeah, I'm just trying to fix, for the dateline on the story, I just need to know your physical location.
Yeah, it's Oakton, Virginia.
You're in Arlington, right?
Oakton. O-A-K-T-O-N. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Well, listen, thank you very much for your help. I do appreciate it, and I wish you well.
Well, thanks for having me.